Double parsha, which always makes picking out our selections very difficult, but we will do our best tonight. We get a bigger choice, but that makes it more difficult to figure out how you're going to cover. So the material that I gave you was actually basically half Achrei Mos, half Kedoshim, but we'll make our way through. Anyway, so we begin with the first pasuk on page 636. Vayderer Hashem Moshe Achrei Mos Shnei Bnei Aaron Ukar Vasamuch Bnei Hashem Vayemusu. So Hashem speaks to Moshe after the deaths of the two sons of Aaron, as they brought something close to God, Ukar Vasamuch Bnei Hashem, and they died. Okay. So, of course, what Moshe then says, "Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, daber al Aaron achicha." Hashem says to Moshe to tell your brother, to Aaron, your brother, "Al yavo b'chol eisel al kodesh." He shouldn't go at any time to the kodesh. Mibeis la paroches, al panei akaporos asher Aaron v'lo yimus ki ben on era el akaporos. In other words, there's a specific formula under which Aaron is allowed to go and stand in front of the Aaron on the other side of the paroches, on the other side of the curtain, which is what Nadav and Avihu ignored, and that's why they died. And Moshe is saying, "When can you go?" On Yom Kippur. And we know this is the Torah reading for Yom Kippur, and Aaron, the Kohen Gadol, would enter the Kodesh HaKodeshim on Yom Kippur following the formula which is described here, and of course later on in Maseches Yoma. So, the Kli Yakar goes in the path of trying to understand there are a few questions in this opening Pasuk. Number one, the deaths of the sons of Aaron. Where did they come from? What was it all about? We discussed this in Parsha Shmini, where he gave us his viewpoint there, noting a lot of the Mefarshim and the different opinions as to what it was that caused the deaths of Aaron's sons. And he also asked the question of Daber al Aaron Achicha. What do you mean Daber al Aaron Achicha? Like, we know who Aaron is, your brother. Thank you. We know. Okay, so let's take a look at the first pasuk here. First pasuk. Daber Hashem Moshe Achrei Moshe Nei Bnei Aaron Ubiar Inyan. Shebnei Aaron, the explanation is that the sons of Aaron are ru'in l'shlichus yad al vayuchlu vayishtu vayichazua es Elohim. They were worthy to die. Shlichus yad means l'shlach yad, right? It's to send a hand against them. It's the second paragraph of Pasuk Aleph, okay? Because of their eating and drinking and seeing God. What's that referring to? Parshas Mishpatim. Perek Chav Dalad, the end of the end of the parsha there. Sheistaklu v'shchina mitoch lev gas shamachal v'mishte, that they looked at God because they had filled their bellies. That idea of filling your belly is something which is often frowned upon in the words of Chazal, like mole kareso, you know, like you fill your belly with something which is inappropriate. Well, they, on account of eating and drinking, they became a little haughty, and so they said, you know what, I can look up and see what's going on up on the top of the mountain. No, you're not allowed to. They should have known not to look up. Simchas HaTorah, and God waited to take them at a different time, not to mix their deserved deaths at that time with the joy of receiving the Torah. And so this command is really following that episode, not what actually happened with Nadav and Avihu, but that episode. She'al yavo el HaKodesh b'chol yom she'yesh bo achila v'shisia. Don't go into the Kodesh any time when you might be eating or drinking. Because eating and drinking brings about, or can bring about, haughtiness. You're opening up the door for that. Kiyim b'yom kippur. But the only time you can go is on Yom Kippur. When you're not eating, yom anos adam nafsho, when a person is suffering through inui, ki az huba b'achna l'fnei baruch, because then you come in supplication in front of your Creator. And so that's why God says to Moshe, with this Hakdama, when's God speaking to Moshe? Acharei Moshe Shnei Bnei Aaron, explaining to us what happened. He's telling us the reason for the deaths of the sons of Aaron. What is B'kar V'Asam L'Fnei Hashem? When they came too close. When did they come too close? When they saw God. Okay? He says, what is it that was the depiction or the reason for their death? When they came before God and died. They came too close to God at a time which was not fitting. They should not have been looking up at that time. And that is And that is the reason for their death. So, Bekar Vasam Lifnei Hashem, right? It's not what we see in Parsha Shemini. In Parsha Shemini, it says, Vayakrivu Lifnei Hashem Eish Zara. And he says, well, it should have said, Bekar Vasam Lifnei Hashem Eish Zara. The fact that it doesn't mention Eish Zara, he says, it's therefore referring to what happened in Parsha Mishpatim. Okay? And that is a classic interpretation. I think I mentioned, I don't remember if it was last week or in Parsha Shemini, that the Abravanel is of the viewpoint that what happened in Parsha Shemini is a cover for what happened in Parsha Mishpatim. Because what happened in Shemini, it's like, you know, what they did there wasn't so terrible. Whereas what they did in Shemos, in Parsha Mishpatim, was. And so what happens in Shemini is really to draw attention away from the real Avla, from the real error, which was looking at God at that time. Okay, so Umash. Now we skip a little bit in the Kli Akar. I skip a paragraph and a half to just show you another thing which he's sharing with us, which is Umash Pirish Rashi says Zarzo Yoter Min Harishon Ulai Kavanoso Ki Kvar Neemar Begam Akonim Anigashim El Hashem Al Yehersula Alos El Hashem Begam Sham Zirzam Al Ze Ach Shalone Mar Sham Shum Onesh Ki Im Penyafrotz Behem. Okay, so in other words, Rashi, so I didn't actually look at Rashi here. Rashi says here, hold on, let's take a quick look. What does Rashi say?
The doctor told
me that
I don't eat.
Right, okay. It's the first Rashi. Moshe, a sick person who had the doctor come visit him. Amar lo, al tochal tzonin, al tishkav. Tachavi says to him, don't eat this. Ba'acher v'amar lo, al tochal tzonim v'al tishkav v'tachav, shelo tamus k'derach shemes ploni. So the first guy says, just don't do it. So whether he listened or not, we don't know. Another doctor comes along and says, don't do these things because you'll die the way somebody else died. So zez yirzo yoter min harishon. The second one who said, you may die, and he gives him an example of somebody who died, he encouraged this person more. Okay, so essentially what Rashi is saying is, he's saying to Moshe, you know, if you tell Aaron that what your sons did is what caused their death, then Aaron will be like, oh, if they died, then okay, then I'm not going to do that. So when he says this, he says, he's quoting the pasuk in Shmos Yutes, which is right before the giving of the Torah and Parshas Yisro, and there the Kohanim were told not to get too close. But what happened? What happened? Clearly, Nadav and Avihu didn't listen because they didn't take to heart what instructions had been given. But now, when Moshe is saying, when he tells him that he shouldn't die the way his sons died, fine. Then this is a better method of how you get the message across. But if the pasuk is just telling us, okay, in other words, what does God say to Moshe? God doesn't mention anything about Aaron's sons. The fact that the Torah tells us, "Vayidaber Hashem Moshe acharei Moshe b'nei Aaron," that's setting the stage for what the timing was for what God said. It doesn't say "Vayidaber Hashem Moshe," quote, "acharei Moshe b'nei Aaron," or is it? Actually, that is an approach of some of the Mefarshim sometimes, where when it says "Vayidaber Hashem Moshe," that is the quote. Okay, but anyway, so he says, but where do you see God doing that? He learned it from the fact that God revealed to him what was the reason for the deaths of the sons of Aaron. So, in other words, Moshe made the connection because of the timing. So, if God's telling me this now, then it must be because of the deaths of the sons of Aaron. And now I understand what the reason for the deaths of the sons of Aaron was, because of the first Kirva Lifnei Hashem, which took place at that time, when they had just been warned. Now, were another one of you warned? No, they weren't warned. They had been warned earlier, and after that warning, they died. Okay, so that's the first thing. Now, the other thing that I mentioned was that the question was Daber al Aharon Achicha. So take a look. We already saw the pasuk. Take a look at the very next thing, which is on your page. Daber al Aaron achicha. Okay. Mara al hazkir kana achva. Why is he mentioning the brotherliness, whatever. El lo malcha she'al yismoch Aaron al achva lomar shelo yamus bivo'o el hakodesh b'schuso shel Moshe achiv. That Aaron, what he's trying to say to him is, you're giving this message to Aaron, your brother, because guess what? Nepotism here doesn't work. Daber al, even though he's your brother, you think Moshe family off limits. No, he's your brother. He has to understand that even he, al yavo b'chaleis, even he might die. He should not be going. Right, so that half of his flesh, meaning his brother, what do you mean, Parshas Baloscha? That's when Miriam says Lashon Hara, and that is a concern for the brothers. Al pasuk b'yochab chatzib sarah. Al kein amar afal pishu achicha mikol makom ha'yismach al zeklum. Even though he's your brother, you shouldn't rely on anything. O amar me'achar shachicha hu ve'im yamus domek kilu ne'achal chatzib sarah al kein alechem mutal b'yosar latziro. Right, if your brother dies, it's like half of you is gone. And I don't think I need to explain what that's like, especially these two brothers who were so close, that what would that translate to for Moshe? So Moshe, you better warn your brother and let him know very clearly that this could apply to him even though he's your brother. Even more, even though he's your brother in Nebuah, and you guys are so close in so many ways, right, we have a rule about Moshe, that anything that applies to the Kohen Gadol, Moshe is allowed to do, and even more so. Moshe can go in at any time. Moshe is the only person in history who has open season to go wherever he wants with regard to the Mishkan. You have to tell him, yeah, he's your brother, but that doesn't mean he's you. You're Moshe, Aaron's Aaron, and he needs to have this warning because he is a different person. The idea that he shouldn't go at all times doesn't, it's not precise. The implication is that he can't go at all times, but there are times when he can't go. But the truth is, it's not so. The fact of the matter is that he can't. It's not that there are specific times when he can go. There's only one time that he can go, once a year. Okay, this is just incredible. He says, and I, meaning the Kliyakar, I'm saying that the reason why there's a prohibition against Aaron going at all times is because Aaron is prevented from going on account of the sins of the people. Because it's the sins of the people that separate them from their God. The Kohen carries a heavy burden of the people, and their mess ups are what prevent the Kohen from getting close to God in this way. And then it's how many times does it say when it describes Aaron's role in Parshas Tetzaveh? It says, Vinasa Allah, I don't remember the exact language, but he's going to carry on him as Avonos bin Israel. He has to carry the sins of the people on him. Okay? So, Horash Alozach Alakrivazo, Ki Imitoch bin Israel. That the only way that he can get close to God in this manner is if he's coming from amongst the people. Uchashi Israel Einan Zochin. And when Israel, when they don't merit, Gama Kohen Atolu Behem Einan Zochin Eros bin Eshchina, then the Kohen also can't. When can he? The only time he can go is on Yom Kippur. Why? Should call Yisrael on Yom Kippur. Call Yisrael nimshalu bayomahu lamalachi asharis. The Jewish people are compared to angels, and angels, as we know, sinless. Shehem lamalam in azman rein azman shalei b'hem. Angels are above time, and Yom Kippur is a day when we are above time, and that we are typically not sinning. This is one of the reasons why on Yom Kippur I encourage people to stay in shul. And not really to talk to people, like read. Because if you're not talking to people, you're not going to say Lashon Hara. If you're sitting, you're reading, you're learning, right? You know, it's, you're davening. Like, what else are you doing in Yom Kippur? You're just doing your thing, and that's what you're supposed to do. So the point is that on that day, when the people aren't sinning, then Aaron can represent the people adequately and go into the Kodesh HaKodeshim. Al Kain, Dome yom kadosh ze kilo eino bechlal ha'eis mi'azman ki choli mos hashana bechlal ha'eis da'ino azman chus mi'yom ze. Okay, Yom Kippur is a day above time and space, and therefore it's the day when Aaron can go in to the Kodesh because the Bnei Yisrael are not sinning. The next one, I hope I remember this. I really want to use this word on Yom Kippur. It's fantastic. I'm just going to give you the first three lines of it, though, and that is Veremez ledavar hasatan. Ola shin samachdal. The word hasatan equals 364. Top of the next page. The Amos Achama, in the number of the days of the year, of the solar year, b'mispar shin samachay, equals 365. The haros, shebechol yomos hashana shehasatan v'yetzahar shalei b'brios, kulam b'chlala eis chutz miyom zeh. Okay, in other words, hasatan equals 364 days when he has any power. So that means that there's one day when he doesn't have power. And what's the day when he doesn't have power? Okay, you could fill out the rest of this. Okay, so that's the, it's a nice vort, and it's hopefully it's a good hisorus for Yom Kippur, which we'll have to get back to on Yom Kippur. Okay, the next one I wrote here in my notes. Yes, so that means we're going to do Pasuk Gimel. Okay, bezos yavo Aharon el Hakodesh. So did we do the bezos thing last week? Or I wrote about it. I think it was my dvar Torah I wrote about it. Okay, bezos yavo Aharon el Hakodesh. With this, Aaron comes to the Kodesh. Befar ben bakar lechatas va'ayel le'olah. So take a look at the animals. He has a par ben bakar as a sin offering, and that's a par is a bull, and a ram as an ola. Okay. So what's the significance? What do you think? Let's do this outside for a second. Why a par? Why a bull? And why a ram? Okay. So we often think that any cow has to have something to do with the eagle. So that's the easy one. Okay, now, the truth is we can argue, maybe Aaron doesn't really need this for himself, because Aaron already brought an eagle, l'chatas, in Parshas Shmini. Okay, in other words, Aaron's designation to be the Kohen Gadol, he brought an eagle. The eagle was to atone for the golden calf, because Aaron's role in the golden calf was minimal. I mean, he built it, but he didn't worship it. He wasn't involved in all the festivities. Okay, so in the scheme of things, whatever, but the point is that he could bring an egel, and so, now, does he really need another egel? Now, we know from our knowledge of Yom Kippur that, you know, Aaron is not allowed to wear gold when he goes into the Kodesh HaKodeshim, because gold is reminiscent of the egel ha-zahav. Okay, so, but a par, that's the father of the egel. Okay, right, technically, you know, right? So, is that what it is? So, let's take a look. Right, exactly. Okay, so let's take a look. Remember, what's Yom Kippur all about? We talk about the memory, right? Zechor Esa Avos. You have to remember the merit of the Avos. So, this is why you have to think like a commentator, not think like an obvious, right? The Amru B'Midrash, Par Kineged Avraham, Shemar V'El HaBakar Ratz Avraham, V'Yikach Ben Bakar, right? Rach V'Tov V'Yitem Nalanar, right? Par ben bakar, that's what we have here. Avram took a ben bakar, and that's what he gave to the youths in order to serve, in order to do a zachnas azorchim with the guests. Va'ayil kenegi Yitzchak shenigrav tumur sa'ayil. Right, Ram, we need to explain more. Yitzchak. Hey, what else is the Yom Kippur, major Yom Kippur offering? Two goats, right? Shnei si'irei zim. Kenegi Yaakov. Now, he's not the only mefarish who goes in this route, by the way, but obviously we're studying him, so. So we look at it here. Okay, Shinemar, Mikachli Misham Shnegdeizim. Rivka told Yaakov to prepare to bring him the animals which she's going to prepare for him. Instead of in Esav's place, it was two goats. Kavanas Midrash Zo, Lamar, Kishem Shmatzinu Shgam Lamoshe Lonir Hashem Ki Mischusa Avos. Just as to Moshe, God didn't appear except through the merit of the Avos, as we saw at the burning bush. Shinemar, Laman Yaminu Kinirai Lech Hashem Elokei Avosam Elokei Avram, etc. Moshe was told at the burning bush, I'm only coming to you because of Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov. Kach Kohen Gadol B'Yom HaKippurim Nirei Lev Hashem B'Zchus Avos. The same thing happens for the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, that God appears to him in the merit of the forefathers, and he is bringing these karbanos to be a reminder of the zchus of each of these avos. V'yesh b'kulam remez liyom kippur. And it goes even further. Ki masha amar v'yela b'kor ratz Avraham, so v'midrash zeh shayya b'yom kippur. Ki gam chazal darshu be'etzem hayom nimol Avraham, shenimol b'yom kippur. Okay, so in other words, there's a connection. Now, there's obviously a machlokas about this, because when the three men came to Avraham, right, there's another view that says it was Pesach. But of course, there, we have the machlokas, when was the world created? Tishrei, or Nisan. So the truth is that all of this, when the Gemara debates this, it mentions all these things. That when was Yitzchak born? One view is Nisan, and one view is Tishrei. The pervading one is Nisan. But that's not that the other opinion is invalid. In other words, there is the other opinion. So that is number one. Be'atzma yom hazeh nimol Avraham, shenimol biyom kippur. V'sover shekol ha'maseh min vayera Hashem el Avram be'elonim amrei hakol haya biyom echad. That it was all one day. Be'avah pi she'asa suda biyom ha'hu. And even though he made a meal on that day, so he was, I'm not sure what this means. You know, the Torah hadn't been given yet. He was machmir for himself. I guess so. It's probably referring to, oh, you think it's the fasting?
Yeah, it's Avram fasting.
Not the not kosher? Okay, maybe you're right. Maybe for himself. He made a suda, but he didn't eat. Okay. But I also Yitzchak Yesh Midrash Ha'Maisa Ha'u B'Yom Kippur. So the Midrash says that Akedas Yitzchak took place in Yom Kippur. He quotes the Yalkut Ruveni. V'rayaso min pasuk asher yamar asher yamer hayom b'har Hashem yireh shebichol shana b'yom zeh Hashem yireh, that on the mountain God appears, that it's on every year on that day God appears ki be'anon yireh shama Hashem, or that God appears there. V'shnei siyirim shel Yaakov, what about the two goats of Yaakov? Was that also in Yom Kippur? B'midrash shnei gezim tovim tovim lach v'tovim levanecha. Okay, good for you, good for your children. Tovim lach. Why are they good for you? Shalidehem tikabel abrachos. This is what Rivka was saying to Yaakov, that through them you will get the brachos. This is how it's good for you. V'tovim levanecha, and it'll be good for your children that you're setting the stage for two goats to be brought on this day. Shalidehem ischaper lahem b'yom kippur, because they'll continue to bring two goats, and that's going to be Yom Kippur. Miyazuv tach Yaakov al kaparas yom kadosh zeh aydei shnei seirim. Okay, so that's the Kliyakar's perspective here with reference to the experience of these Karbanos and their relevance, therefore, to Yom Kippur and the Zechus Avos. Okay, and I love this because it's just, you know, it's the type of stuff that you look at all the time and you don't really necessarily think about it. And then he draws attention to the connection, not to what we would think is the obvious, but to a lot less obvious, but on the other hand, when you realize it, you say, oh, well, why didn't I think of that? Right? We should have all thought of that, right? It's Chosavos, of course. That's what Yom Kippur is all about. Okay, the next piece, Pasuk Dalad, okay, Ksonas Bad Kodesh, and then I think the last piece that we're going to do here after this, whatever, okay, we'll just say it. Let's look at the Pasuk. Ksonas Bad Kodesh, Yilbashim Nich Tsevad Yu'al B'Saro, what the Torah does here is it gives us a description of the clothing which Aaron will be wearing on Yom Kippur, namely the big day Lavan. Okay, it's not describing the big day Zav. It's the white garments. It's the ksones, the shirt, the pants, the belt, and the hat, the mitznefes, and that is what he wears specifically for the avoda of Yom Kippur. Okay, so the question that the Kliyakar is going to address is, why is the Torah giving us, again, a listing? Just tell him he's going to wear the Big Day Lavan, and we just tell the regular Big Day Kahuna. Why do you have to remind us what each one is? So he has two or three pshatim here. I'm only going to give you one because I didn't want to get stuck on it. But I think we actually saw some of this when we were doing Parshas Tetzaveh, where we were learning about the Big Day Kahuna. Then, so Ksonas by Kodesh says Lefum Ria Tanir Shizulas Hakapara Yesh Oto El Sheni Bechnisas Kohen Gadol Leros Pnei Shechina Achas B'Shana. He says, you know, we already saw one reason what it's all about. It's the day where there's no sinning. So, but there's more to it as well. Kedei Lechazeko Emuna. Okay, the point of the Kohen Gadol going in there is to strengthen people's faith. Kedei Rashanir Hashem L'Chol Yisrael B'Har Sinai. Just to affirm for people what the dibros of Anochi and Lo Yelcha, just as people heard that at Har Sinai, they're gonna get an appreciation of that now. God wants to appear to the Kohen, who is their messenger, to renew their faith in these two dibros, or their trust in these two dibros, which is about the unity of God, in other words, the that Hashem is one, and that there is no other God before Him. Ve'im bu'ulai avru Yisrael alo sirtzach v'lo sinav kihem makbilim mul dibur anochi v'lo yelcha. And if it happens to be that the Bnei Yisrael violated the prohibition against murder, the prohibition against adultery. You have to remember, and this is a theme throughout, a lot of the commentaries do this, where they look at the two sets of the Dibros, and they parallel number one to number six, number two to number seven. Okay, and that's a study in and of itself. But he says that if they, for whatever reason, violated the first two on the left column, This is actually in the Gemara that talks about Lashon Hara and Saras and everything from this past week's Parsha. So there it talks about the merit of what each of the different Big Day Kahuna carried. So if they were in violation of the top two on the left column, So they needed the Kohen to be wearing these clothing, because the Kesones specifically brought atonement for Shvichos Damim, for murder, U'michasevad, and the pants were Mechaper Al Gili Arayis, for the immorality, which is accentuated by Lo Sinaf, by the prohibition against adultery. Kidei Shelo Yisnagdu Al Shtei Dibros Anochi V'lo Yelcha V'lechros Leim Ritz Chadasha B'chol Shana V'shana. Okay, in other words, they can't continue to go against this and presume that they're going to be able to continue to survive. They need to get atonement for everything. So the Kohen in and of himself going in brings a renewal of Anochi and Lo Yelcha, and so his clothing brings atonement for the sins on the opposite side. Ulfi Shavodah Zara HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ma'anish Gam Al HaMachshava. And since through when if people commit Avodah Zarah through thought, and God punishes for that as well, Al Kein Ne'emar U'Be'avneid Bad Yechgor, so he has to also wear the belt. Why? Ki Avneid Mechaper Al Hirhur Alev. The people need atonement even for their thoughts of Avodah Zarah. U'Lefi She'Bechenisa Zo Nanshu Bnei Aaron. And since in their entrance here, the sons of Aaron were punished, al shehistaklu b'shechina mitoch lev gas, right? How we saw at the very outset today that when they looked at the Shechina in Parshas Mishpatim, Perek of Dalet, because their bellies had been full and therefore they were a little haughty, al kein ne'emar b'Aaron uv mitznefes bad yitznof. So Aaron needs to wear the mitznefes. Why? Ke mitznefes mechaper al gas haruach. So in other words, there's a lot that's going on here that is behind the scenes, or that's between the lines, that needs to be atoned for, and the Kohen, in and of himself, through his entrance into the Kodesh HaKodeshim on the one hand, and through the clothing which he's wearing, when he's doing that, he brings about a kapara for the people, just by dint of who he is, and how he is going about his existence on this day, through the clothing that he is wearing. Okay, and just I guess the last thought for Yom Kippur is the very next Kli Yakar source. So let's skip that pasuk for a second. It's pasuk Lamed. So all of this that we're going to be skipping, we're not reading through in the Psukim, is the avoda of Yom Kippurim as described in the Torah, and then it's the pasuk which we say so many times in Yom Kippur, because that's what the Kohen Gadol would say when he would say the vidui. Okay, so this is Yom Kippur for you, the Torah tells us. Because on this day, he'll bring atonement for you, to purify you, and from all of your sins, you will get that atonement, or you'll become purified. So the Kli Yakar says, Yom Kippur, as we know, you have to do tshuva for Yom Kippur to apply. Before God gives atonement to the people, every person needs to bring tahara for themselves from the toe bone all the way to the head, from all tuma, all sins of tuma. Before God, you have to bring tahara. Gedolah mizum atzasi b'sefer Zohar pasuk mipnei seva takum shekodem zman haseva yakuma adam mishenas Tirdamato Lashuv El Hashem. This is the reason why I'm bringing this message from the Zohar, that before a person reaches the age of Seva, you have to get up. And again, it's not that you have to stand up for the elderly, meaning, of course you do. That's the pshat in the pasuk. The pasuk, Mipnei Seiva Takum, before you achieve Seva yourself, Takum and return to God. Mipnei Seva, before you achieve Seva, Yakum Adam Mishenas Tardamto, you have to get up from your own sleeping, from your own slumber, Lashuv al Hashem, Kavachomer Lashon Lifnei. That's what Lifnei means. Before God, so Mipnei Seva, before you achieve becoming old, certainly before you achieve standing before God, you have to titaru. You have to achieve purity before that day. Don't wait until that day comes. Don't wait until the day Mashiach comes. Do tshuva beforehand. And then afterwards, God will purify you through his giving atonement. Whatever is going on in the heart, who knows about it? Only God knows about it. Don't be like the person who has to go through all the motions to appear like a tzaddik. That everybody says, oh, this guy's a tzaddik. But the inside isn't real. It's not about how the way everybody perceives you. It's about our God perceives. God sees the heart. And so the point here is, he just takes the word lifnei Hashem and turns it over on its head. It's not just in front of God on that day in Yom Kippur. It's lifnei Hashem. Before you reach God, lifnei mipnei seva takum. Before you get to that point, there's preparation. Right? It's like we say to a bar mitzvah boy. The bar mitzvah is not where it ends. The bar mitzvah is where it begins. And whatever happens before bar mitzvah, that's your preparation for your beginning. So everything, all these lifneis, is before you get to that point, because at that point, that's when you're beginning. Or that's when you want to have already arrived. You don't want to be like, oh, now that I'm here, okay, now I'm going to work. No. It's all about preparation. So I thought it's also a beautiful message for Yom Kippur and just for life in general. This the Mipnei Seiva Takum flip is just a fascinating thought and a lesson for everybody. And it really speaks to everybody. Okay. All right, we move on. This week is very appropriate to have Parsha Zachrimos, because here the Kli Akar goes all Zionist on us. Okay, turn to Perek Yidchas. Turn to Perek Yidchas, where we have the before the Arayos are described, before the forbidden relationships are described. So we have Psukim, which we're all familiar with. Tell Bnei Israel that I am Hashem. Kimasei Eretz Mitzrayim, like the ways of the land of Egypt, Asher Yishavtem Ba, where you lived, lo tasu, don't do. Kimasei Eretz Kanan, Asher Ani Mevi'eschem Shama lo tasu, and like the ways of the land of Canaan that I am bringing you to there, lo sasu, don't do, v'chukosehem, lo selechem, don't follow their ways. Okay? Now, in the interest of time, I'm going to tell this to you outside. Okay? The Kli Akar asks a very simple question. He says, what do you mean, Kemasei Eretz Mitzrayim? There's so much words here. Just say, Kemasei Eretz Mitzrayim, Eretz Kanan, lo tasu. What's it? Kemasei Eretz Kanan, you know, that you lived there, Kemasei Eretz Kanan. Like, we know all this stuff. We know what's going on. We were in Egypt, and now we're going to Canaan. So he says very beautifully, he says, the Torah is actually telling us what is the Ma'aseh Eretz Mitzrayim. It's not about the people in Egypt. It's your Ma'aseh in Eretz Mitzrayim. What's your Ma'aseh in Eretz Mitzrayim? Asher Yishavtem Ba, that you lived there, and that you wanted to stay there. And how many times in the Torah do the people say, let's go back to Egypt? He says, that's the Ma'aseh Eretz Mitzrayim. And Kemaaseh Eretz Kanan, what's the Ma'aseh Eretz Kanan? Asher Ani Mevi Eschem Shama, that I have to bring you. You should be wanting to run to Eretz Canaan. You should be wanting to live in Eretz Canaan. All the skepticism, all the cynicism about Eretz Canaan, says, that's your problem. That lo sa'asu. And b'chuko sehem lo se'lechu. B'chuko sehem lo se'lechu is referring to the ways of all these people. That's the summary. But the Ma'aseh Eretz Mitzrayim, the Ma'aseh Eretz Canaan, is the B'nai Yisrael. Their problem is that they wanted to live in Egypt and they need to be schlepped to Canaan. And he goes off on this, and he says, you know, this is not the proper way to exist with reference to these lands. A Jew needs to always view Egypt as a place where I should not have settled and I should not want to be. It's not where I belong. It's just, it's fleeting. And when it comes to Canaan, I should always want to be there, and I shouldn't want to not. Was he a Zionist? Did he live in Israel? I don't think he lived in Israel. Okay, but at the same time, it's a mindset that a Jew should have, that where should my heart at least be? If I can't make it for whatever reason, but at least my heart should be there, and I should recognize that this is not real life. I know a fella, I don't want to give too much information away, who happens to be very well-to-do, and he lives somewhere in the United States. He's not in Florida, he's not in our community. He lives somewhere, and he lives in an attached house. Doesn't need to live in an attached house, but he does. And he says, you know why I live this way? Because this is not my real life. My real life is in Israel. He has a very nice place in Israel. He spends, now at this point in his life, he spends a lot of time in Israel. But he also has his place in the United States. But he lives like a king in Israel, which he can afford to do. Whereas in America, he does not, because he says, this is just a passing through. Not that it's not nice, but he can afford a lot better where he lives. But that's his choice, because this is his mentality. And I give him a lot of credit for that. Okay. No. It's just in a regular street, nothing fancy, and a townhouse somewhere in a neighborhood in the United States of America. We'll leave it at that. Okay, not giving it away. I know this person. Okay, so that is essentially. There's a lot more here, but I didn't want to get bogged down in it, because I do want to move on to the next part, which is Parshas Kedoshim. I think I gave you one more thing in terms of the Arayos. So let's just look at the very last thing here. Let me see what I gave you here. I gave here the Ta'am Iser Arayos. Yeah, okay, so take a look at the top of page 4. So just as far as the Arayos goes, okay, just, you know, some thoughts, hopefully it's not really relevant to us, but nonetheless, it's always a good reminder. Ish ish el kol she'er b'saro lo sikrivu legalos erva. He says, don't come close to reveal one's nakedness. Kriva mevia l'dei gilui erva v'ayinu ha'yichud. What are we talking about? We're talking about yichud. Okay, it's not about, I mean, obviously it is about the actual act of taking off the clothing of somebody and whatever that may lead to, but it begins with yichud. Begins with yichud. Yichud means seclusion, a man and a woman being in the same room together. Without yichud, you don't have problems. Okay? And that's point number one. The Tam Yisrael Arayos Perish Rambam. The Rambam explains the prohibition against all these Arayos is Shehul Maye Tamishgal. It's to limit sexual activity. These are the women who are closest to this individual. They're all relatives, and you have to understand that, you know, if you don't have limitations and understand I'm just going to use the colloquial term love, what love is and what love is not, okay? Then people might run rampant with incest, and incest is A, is wrong, and B, specifically with you know, in the openness of these wonderful relationships that people have, you could bring about the worst of people. The Ramban sasar zoadeya, the Ramban had a different viewpoint. Hira'inu shakasuv hitrilo nashim la'alfim alkein piresh shemitzva zo sod. He says that a person is allowed to have a number of wives. I don't know what la'alof it means, but anyway, v'nira shelakach ne'mar ba ani Hashem rasa lamar ani ayodeh tamo shel davar v'lachem chuka. So he says, remember that God keeps on injecting the phrase here, ani Hashem. What does ani Hashem have to do with all this stuff? He says, this is me. This is God's rule, and leave it at that. Okay. And then he goes on. Take a look at the next one. That the impurity which comes to the land, he says, Haramban kasa parshas bereishis shepri eitz hadas hayamoli tavas hamishgal. That it was the eating from the eitz hadas, from the tree of knowledge, which gave birth essentially to the taiva, to the desire of sexuality. V'lachem kisu me'arumehem achar she'achlu mimenu. They covered up their nakedness after they ate from the Eitz Hadas. Al kein matzinu shebechol makom shechet shel gilui arayos matzui, az HaKadosh Baruch Hu poked avon haaretz. Anytime sins of a sexual nature are rampant, God takes it out against the land. Ki hi garma la Adam Arishon, right? Adam Arishon quote unquote original sin. Right? What happened? Shechata be'etz hadas. So he was kicked out of the garden. And then what happened next? Dor ha'mabul haznus matzui sham. The generation of the flood. There was a lot of znus going on, so they were destroyed. What was the next group that was destroyed? Not the Tower of Babel. Remember, they had achdus, so they weren't destroyed. They were spread across the land. What's the next place that was destroyed? Thank you, Sodom. And what's going on in Sodom? Okay, same thing. So you see how God operates and what this is all about. So this is another reason why we read this on Yom Kippur on a day when we can look at this and laugh and say, "Look, we're not doing this. What are you talking about? This is not relevant to us, obviously, on this day." So that's one of the considerations for why this is read on Yom Kippur when it almost seems like a joke, but of course it's not a joke. But that's a time when you can remind people when we know that nobody is guilty of this particular avla at this time. Okay, we move on. Parshas Kedoshim. Okay, Parshas Kedoshim. It's a hard one to pin down. He actually doesn't have as much commentary on Kedoshim as he has on Achrimos. There's a lot more on Achrimos, but nonetheless, some of the mitzvos which are here. So we're probably just going to look at the first one and the Behavta L'Reicha Kamocha. Those I think are the best ones. So what can I tell you? All right. So we'll start off with Ish Imo V'Aviv Tiro V'Eshav Sosai Tishbar. Okay. So that's how Parshas Kedoshim begins, telling us that you have to be kadosh because God is kadosh. And in Pasuk Gimel, he says Ki kadosh ani Hashem Elokeichem. And then in the context of all these things, I mean, how many times do you have the phrase in this parsha ani Hashem Elokeichem or ani Hashem? So look at the first psukim. Ki kadosh ani Hashem Elokeichem. Ish Imo V'Aviv Tiro V'Eshav Sosai Tishmoru. Right? Revere your parents, keep the Shabbos, ani Hashem Elokeichem. Al tifnu elo elilim, don't turn towards the gods, elo masicha, don't make masks, or etc., images, ani Hashem Elokeichem. Okay, so there's an impression which is being given here. The Midrash jumps on the idea that the Ten Commandments are hinted to and alluded to in the opening verses of Parshas Kedoshim, which is a topic of a Midrash here. I'm not going to get to that, but let's take a look at the Kli Yakar here. Okay, Pasuk Gimel. Ish imo v'aviv tiro v'eshav sosai tishmo. He says, Mashapir et ha-Shabbos, yoter mikol mitzvot shabbatot. If you're following in the text, I just skipped. I'll tell you how much I skipped. Okay, one second. Hold on a second. Yeah, not too many lines. Maybe five or six lines in your chumash. Okay? Umashapiret HaShabbos yoter mikol mitzvot shabbatorah. That's it. You have it? Got it? Okay. Umashapiret HaShabbos yoter mikol mitzvot shabbatorah. Why is Shabbos emphasized here? L'fishetam shal mitzvot kibudav v'aim hu sheroi lachlo kavod l'misha hotziyo l'or ha-havaya. But kibudav v'aim, you're giving honor to the person to those who brought you gave you life. Halo hu avicha kanecha hu ascha. How could you not give proper honor to the one who brought you into this world? Without him, without them, you wouldn't exist. Okay. So this is, by the way, it's a hint. You know, one of the ideas of kibud av v'aim is how come it's on the right side? The right side is all ben adam l'makom, right? Mm-hmm. Your parents is not ben adam l'makom. So I've heard it couched to say, on the one hand, that it's between man and his creator, or between man and her creator. Okay, so kibud av v'aim, they're your creators. But of course, when you think about what does the Gemara say about the creation of any human being? How many partners are there in creation? Three. Okay, it's Father, Mother, and God. And so therefore, Kibud Av Ha'Em is not just Kibud, your direct father, but it's Kibud, your Father in heaven. So there is that element as well. So, and what is that, how does that manifest itself? How do you honor God? Look one up in the Aseres Dibros from Kibud Av Ha'Em. What do you have? Shabbos. Shabbos Moreh al Kibud Shel Hashem Yisborach. Shabbos is an indicator of honoring God. Ki hu Moreh al Chidush Ha'Olam. When you keep Shabbos, you're giving testimony to God's renewal of the world, not renewal, but first renewal of the world and then the renewal. That God gave you life and God gave your father life. If your father tells you to be Mechal Shabbos, what's the rule? And he's trying to entice you. He's trying to tell you that you should disregard the desire of your father in heaven. What's the rule? You're supposed to listen to your father when your father tells you to do things, right? But if your father, meaning your physical father, tells you to violate Shabbos, you're not supposed to listen to him. Because God, who is Barach? God, he is the one who is the father to all of us. And you have to nullify the will, the desire of your physical father, on account of the will of your heavenly father. Because you and your father have to honor your father in heaven. Okay, so that's an important first off. And by the way, this is one of the reasons why, you know, when we look at, not that we want to judge people, we don't want to judge people. When we look at people and we categorize people, one of the key questions that we ask is, are you a Shomer Shabbos? Okay, again, it's not a judgment thing, but it's a question of where do you stand with reference to this. And it's, you know, again, we don't want to categorize people. We don't like doing that. It's not nice. But it's important to know, and especially, you know, where does this have most ramifications? Most ramification that it has, well, I mean, you know, in a shul like ours, we have rules about who could lead the davening on Shabbos, who could represent the tzibur on Shabbos. So we say you have to be a Shomer Shabbos. And where else does it really manifest itself? On who's signing a document, or who could serve as an aide? Who could serve as an aide? And the idea is that if you could testify that God exists in the world, can you serve as a witness in a religious procedure? Whether it's a wedding, whether it's on a ksuba, you know, anything. You want to have somebody who does this, because if they can't testify to God's metzias in the world through honoring the Shabbos. Now, by the way, I don't think for one second that a person who doesn't keep Shabbos doesn't believe in God. I don't think that A doesn't mean B. Okay, there are people who don't keep Shabbos, and however we define not keeping Shabbos, people who drive on Shabbos. Do you think they don't believe in God? I think they do believe in God. They drive for other reasons. But that, it becomes a psul. It becomes a psul la'edus, simply because of that factor, because of this idea. Because, I mean, my classic example is Mr. Gutman, Alav Shalom, in my in-law's town in Glendale, in Wisconsin, in Milwaukee. He was a Holocaust survivor, hated the Nazis like a good Jew should, okay? But, I mean, really, unbelievable the way... So this man was... he lived a 20-minute walk from the shul, and when he could no longer make the walk, guess what he stopped doing? He stopped going to shul. Okay? Because he said, it's either shul or Shabbos. And guess what he picked? Shabbos. Okay, and as difficult as it is, I'm not saying that that's an easy decision. I mean, we hope that there are other ways that people can get to shul, and thank God things have come about. But in his case, that possibility didn't exist, and that was the choice which he made. And with b'mechilas kvod many people, I think that is the correct choice. If Shabbos is important to you, 100%, and that's the way it was for him. Okay. Then he goes to the question, you know how it says here, ish imo v'aviv tiro. You have to revere your mother and your father. That's the order, as opposed to kabed es avicha v'esimecha. I'm sure we've all heard this point, so that when it comes to honoring, it mentions the father first. The v'shigama ish chayav b'chvod ishto.
My wife tells me this every day.
Okay, because a man has to honor his wife. A man has to honor his wife more than himself. You might think that there's not such a big deal if you're lenient with his kavod, meaning with the kavod of the father. Why? Because your father also has to honor your mother. Because you say, look, he has to honor my mom anyway, so I don't need to honor him because we both have to honor her. He says, no, you got to honor him too. Okay? It's such a fascinatingly different interpretation than anything you've ever heard about Kibbutz Av Aim. No? I never heard this before. Okay? So you also have to honor him, even though he has to honor her. Okay? Alpha Pisha Shnechem Chayim Chareim. Uvimora, Tzarek Shie Emas Bala Aleha. Right? She has to have a reverence for her husband. Sakadai Dachamina Shemora, you'd say, look, she has to revere the tata also, right? That's the way that a wife is supposed to look at her, towards her husband. So if that's the case, I don't have to revere her because I got to revere him. So no, you have to revere her too. Okay, nikdimaim lamar shal kopanim mora alecha. Just it's just such a different perspective that he shares. So I think it's fantastic. Okay, turn the page. We're going to skip the next one. I really don't want to skip it, but what am I going to do? I'm out of time. I'm running out of time. What am I going to do? Okay, so let's take a look at... let's take a look at Yud Zayin, and then we're going to finish with what's on the last page, on behalf of the Rech HaKabacha. Okay? Yud Zayin. So the pasuk is, Hochech tochech hasamitzecha. Okay? I'm sorry. Losisna sechecha belvavecha. Don't hate your brother in your heart. Rebuke your brother, and don't bear sin because of him. So lo sisna sechicha bilavavecha, which means don't hate your brother in your heart, doesn't mean hate him out in the open. It means try to get past the hate. It's like, I'm not keeping it in me. I hate your guts. It's out in the open. No, that's not what it means. It means get past the hate. Try to find a way to get along in some way. You don't have to be best friends. But you have to not hate your fellow Jew. And that's what Hochech Tochech HaSamitzecha means. It means you have to be able to communicate with somebody. It was to say, listen, I have a problem. Okay, maybe we can work this out. This is my problem. This is what I see. This is what I perceive. This is what I feel. And I'm sharing with you. That's my Hochecha. That's my Tochecha to you. That you should understand where I'm coming from. Then the person will say, you know what? I didn't realize that. Hopefully, the person should be receptive. That I didn't realize that was the way you felt. This is what drives me. This is the way that I operate. This is what how I'm thinking. And therefore, that's what this is all about. Okay? And so, in the context of that, the Kli Yakar says the following. Hochech tochiach es amisecha v'lo sisa alav chet. Davka amisecha b'mitzvos tochiach. Lathuke shalosh kitos she'enu kablos tochacha. Okay, so you should talk to somebody who is your achicha b'mitzvos, amisecha b'mitzvos, somebody who with whom you can identify, right? You have something in common. But there are three groups that you don't have something in common with. And who are the three? Rishayim, wicked people. Ksilim, fools. Leitzim, jokesters. No, Leitz is a...
Oh, jokester.
A jokester. Okay. A jokester. Lates. Mesimonach, Rachel. Rachel. Lo selech Rachel b'amecha. Okay? Kemoshin emar, al tivachach lates. Don't humor a jokester. Or don't have any patience for that. Uchsiv be'ozne k'sil al tadaber. Don't speak into the ears of a fool. Uchsiv mochiach l'rasha mumo. Like when you point out the Russia, his mum, like you're killing yourself because you're not going to get anywhere. Ki kol holech Rachel sameach l'ed. So he says, what is a holech rachil? A holech rachil is a gossiper. It's somebody who talks about other people. When he sees something bad with his friend, he doesn't rebuke the person to try to get the person to do tshuva. But he goes around and tells everybody else about it. He says, these people, they don't accept any rebuke. You go over to a jokester and say, can you ever take anything seriously? What's the answer? No, and you're an idiot. So like, what are you even bothering for? You go over to an evil person. You say, you're wicked. You're really just a terrible Russia. He says, oh yeah? Well, now you're on my hit list. I mean, it's like, you know, what's the point? You can't give tochacha to these people. He said, you know why I don't like you? He says, oh, you don't like me? All right, that's good to know. I don't like you either, and I'm going to make your life miserable now. So it's better. You're better off with those people not even getting involved. I skipped a little bit as well. Samach l'mitzvah satochacha. You have it? Did you find it? Okay. When there is love amongst the Jewish people, people are not hating others in their heart, then people are looking out for their friends' good. So a person gives rebuke. Why? Because they don't want the other person to sin. You know, I noticed this, I saw this, this is my perception. I don't want you to fall. I don't want you to do an avera chas v'shalom. Al bezman shesonim zelaza, the olamenu mechicha. But when people hate each other, they're not going to rebuke, because what do they care? You know what? Let that guy go to hell. That's the attitude. So lotisna sechicha bilavecha. Don't hate your brother in your heart. You really want the best for him. Enim mechicha be adarabo who machnifo lomar. Kishura Asisa. They'll say, "Ah, no, what you did was amazing. What you did, even though it was dead wrong, you did an avera. Oh, it's beautiful. You should get velo pe'al the oven. You didn't do anything wrong. Velo chavanaso lahadiach alav aral if yishu sameach mavolaso." He says, "No, you know what? That guy is sinning all the time. I'm going to tell him how awesome it is because I want him to go to hell." He says, "That's terrible." He says, "And this is the way we are. Isn't that unbelievable?" He says, we have this terrible sickness of baseless hatred from the time of the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, and it hasn't left us. We talked about this last week when we looked at what he said about Lashon Hara. He says, God should only take this away from us because it's killing us. It's killing us how much we want to see the other guy fall. And he goes on to this in the next pasuk as well. So let's move on to something a little less depressing. V'ahavta l'reicha kamocha. Okay? All right. So look at the pasuk, v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha, which is the next pasuk in the Chumash. Lo sikom v'lo sitoras b'nei amecha. Do not take revenge and don't bear a grudge against the people of your nation. V'ahavta l'reicha kamocha. You have to love your neighbor like yourself. Ani Hashem. Okay, so we're going to take this until the end. Sorry, just kidding. We're going to take this just the two paragraphs which I gave you here in V'Havta L'Reicha Kamocha. Amr Chazal. Zekla Gadol B'Torah. Anyone familiar with this? There's a lot of songs about that. This is a great rule in the Torah. Not the greatest rule, but an important rule in the Torah. Masechah Shabbos. And so we're familiar with this story. Ma'aseh Behu Ger, She'amar Lamdeni Kol HaTorah, Kishani Omed Al Regel Achas. He goes over to Hillel. He says, teach me the whole Torah while I'm standing on one foot. Which is not exactly true. Hillel didn't say V'Avta L'Reicha Kamocha. What did Hillel say? Called the Alach Sani L'Chaverach L'Savid. What is hateful to you, don't do to your friend. V'idich Perusha and everything else in explanations, look more, go study. Chfiya Nira, and what it seems, is Shehager Hayager Tzedek, that this Ger was a righteous convert. V'loya Mehatel Atolim Lomar B'derach Schok Sh'ilmadu Kol. He wasn't making a joke. He's saying, oh, teach me all Torah, al mamish, I'm standing on one foot. Elavadai, really what was going on is, bikesh mamish, and I'm at the part which I bold and underline, she'yamid lo kol mitzvah satorah al yisod echad. Give me one fundamental principle under which I can understand all of the mitzvahs of the Torah. The hainu regal achas. Meaning, not that I'm standing on one foot, like I'm fooling around with you, but one foundation. Asher alav yamid lo kol mitzvahs kadesh lo yavo lidei shikha. Hamatsuya beger asher lo lamad minu rav klum mitzvos haTorah. He says, I don't want to forget. I'm a convert. I don't have the background, but I want to do it right. So can you give me a fundamental principle which I can always fall back on that guides me in my observance of the law?
It's more understandable than the regular translation.
What do you mean?
This is what you just said.
Right. Well, it's not me. It's the Kliyaker. Okay, I'm not taking any credit. That's why, see what I did? Sheyamid lo kol mitzvah satorah al yisod echad. Okay, it's one fundamental, foundational principle which I can fall back on. Al kein bikesh menu sheyimser lo klal echad hakol el kol haTorah. He says, give me one rule that includes everything. Val derech emlitza amar kshani omed al regel achatz. And basically he's saying, you know, so that I can get it, and standing on one foot is enough time worth of a principle that I can remember. The kavanah solim saladavar neemar mehera b'lashon katzar. Give me something that's said quickly in a concise language. Vaynugam king yisod regal achas says like al regal achas. That's where it comes from. Al yedesh yizkor klal zeh yizkor eskol mitzvos Hashem. Through remembering this, he'll remember all the mitzvos of Hashem. V'limdo pasuk v'yavta l'reicha kamocha ani Hashem. So what was he taught? The verse of V'Ahavta L'Reicha Kamocha Ani Hashem, even though that's not the language that Hillel used, Hillel said, don't do unto others that which is hateful unto you. But ki kvar amru chazal bo Chabakuk b'midon alachas, shenemar v'tzadik b'emunaso yichyeh, that Chabakuk said that the righteous person will live with his faith. V'ze eno soser divrei Hillel, that's Chabakuk's principle, that does not contradict Hillel's. Ki kol mitzvos haTorah heim al shnei sugim. Every mitzvah of the Torah, it fits into one of two categories. Who are mitzvahs shebein adam lamakom? Baruch Hu. Yisodu kulam hamuna b'Hashem. There are the mitzvahs ben adam l'makom between man and God, and the foundational principle is believing God. Hasheni hu hamitzvah shebein adam l'chaver. Yisodu kulam pasuk b'yavta l'rechem. And everything else is ben adam l'chaver, between man and your fellow man, and the principle is b'yavta l'rechem. B'tam zeh hayu akruvim porsim kenafayim l'mala. The kruvim, the cherubs on the ark, they had their wings spread upward. They're representing the mitzvahs which are between man and God. But their faces are ish elachiv, facing one another. To represent the mitzvahs which are between people. And by the way, I'll just add, but also El HaKaporis, right? In other words, their faces, they're facing one another, but they're looking down, which is just a reminder that what are they looking at? What's under the Kaporis? The Torah. Okay, the Torah is meant to be a guide for all of this. Like, yes, I got this, right? I'm up, I'm at you, and I'm also looking at the Torah. He doesn't mention the part about looking to the Torah, but I'm just throwing that in there. V'chshemar kan al regal achas, hayinu yisod echad l'chol sug. It's a single principle for everything. So he says, that's why he says, because that includes everything. Okay, so he gives them the pasuk, but that quote is about being adam l'chaveru. But he also says to him, Ani Hashem. So whenever people quote V'avta l'recha kamocha, the problem with the quote is that they stop right there. You got to finish the pasuk. What comes after the pasuk? Ani Hashem. And he says that's the yisod. The yisod of all of Judaism is in this pasuk, in those five words. V'avta l'recha kamocha is bein adam la makom, and Ani Hashem is bein adam l'chaveru, and Ani Hashem is bein adam l'makom. So the Kli Yakar is drawing this out and showing us how we can understand the fundamental principle that Hillel was teaching to the convert as not an al regal achas, as a joke Shammai had no patience for, but as a principle of what Judaism is all about. Judaism is all about the bein adam l'makom component, the bein adam l'chaveru component, and that you don't want done what's hateful unto you. So don't do what's hateful unto you to God, right? You don't want your existence denied. Don't deny God's existence. You don't want people to think that that there are other people than you. I don't mean like in a haughty sense, but don't have other gods before me. You don't want people to cheat in your marriage. So don't, you know, these are whatever it may be. So, and the same thing applies. Obviously, the Bein Adam L'Chaveru is a little more understandable. Madasani Lech L'Chaveru L'Chaveru, don't do what's hated unto you with respect to that. So the Kli Yakar couches for us a very fundamental yisod of what it means to be a Jew through his sharing with us how he understands the story of Hillel, and actually suggesting that in Hillel saying what he said, he was actually teaching this fellow this Klal Gadol b'Torah of Rabbi Akiva that Rabbi Akiva talks about, but really saying it's not just V'yavta l'rech kamocha, but it's the entire rest of the pasuk, and it's all in the context of everything else of not hating your brother and wanting to give tochacha to your brother in the right way, and not having revenge, and not wanting bearing a grudge. All of this is subsumed under to the category and the principle that Hillel taught, which is a fundamental principle of the Torah, summarized very beautifully for us by the Kli Yakar.